All right, this is News with Nick. Third start on the show. It is now 7:54. We're 10 minutes late. Sorry about that. March 30th, 2018. Had a little bit of a sound issue. Still have a little bit of a sound issue. I don't like it. And I'm going to have to kill myself to get rid of it, right? Has anyone ever thought of the suicide over sound quality, right? Everyone?
Hotpoint 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to Earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
We have Jesus Christ. He has broken into a Pizza Hut. This is breaking news with Jesus.
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay. And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus.
What? Duh.
That's what I'm supposed to look like.
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up.
This 911 dispatcher.
So what are you up to?
Has no idea.
Where do you live at?
I don't.
Did Jesus just say, so what are you up to the 911 dispatcher?
I'm
Let's
from
go
heaven.
Back.
So what are you up to?
Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
What?
All right, you gonna stay there for a minute?
Yeah.
You ain't got any weapons or anything on you, do you?
No, I'm not violent, sir.
Okay. Just hungry?
Yeah, I was starving to death.
All right.
Everybody's been treating me. I've been beat up in this town. I'm from Indiana.
No. Oh, he just showed his cards. He said he was from. He said he was from heaven. Now he's from Indiana. Unacceptable.
You're from Indiana?
Yes.
Okay.
People keep beating me up.
Where have you been staying at?
Everywhere. I keep getting kicked out of places.
Oh. This guy can live with me. It'll be okay. A Greensboro man claiming to be Jesus Christ called Hotpoint 911 on March 22nd and told the dispatcher he broke into a Pizza Hut. The caller also said he was starving to death. Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into a Pizza Hut. Richard Lee Quintero told dispatchers around 4:30 a.m. Jesus is here. He's back to Earth. I just broke in and I had a pizza. I'm Jesus. So does Pizza Hut just have pizza like pre-made that you could go in, or do you, if you're Jesus and you break in, do you have to then cook the pizza? Because that seems like it'd be really hard if you're drunk and you think you're Jesus. It's our opening story. Chicago cop charged with sexually assaulting a suspect who is in custody at the hospital. An on-duty Chicago police officer sexually assaulted a suspect in his custody last month at a South Side hospital, the Cook County prosecutors allege. Carlisle Calhoun, 46, a 10-year department veteran. He was ordered held on $200,000 bail on charges of aggravated criminal sexual assault and official misconduct. In court, prosecutors said police seized incriminating photos from his cell phone and DNA evidence linked the officer to his crime. Calhoun, who had most recently been assigned to the Gresham Police District, who cares? Relieved of his duty, blah, 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 who cares? We got to figure out what actually happened, though, because that's the exciting part. The male victim, whose age was not given, was arrested on February 3rd on a misdemeanor charge. He expressed suicidal thoughts. Calhoun and another officer were assigned to take him to the burn hospital and guard him while he underwent observation so he couldn't inject any of that air into his IV. Remember when Andrew was at the hospital and he had an IV in his arm and the air was just going towards his veins very slowly? And he's just like, oh, and it stops like an inch from his veins. How strange. And the nurse comes in and goes, oh, that's weird. When the other officer left to eat, Calhoun began to massage the man's bare foot as his left hand and foot were shackled to the bed. Okay, so he's got his left foot shackled to the bed, and the cop comes over and starts to massage his other foot, his right foot, I believe. Calhoun then grabbed the victim's genitals and took a photo of them. After the other officer returned, Calhoun escorted the man to a bathroom down a hall. What? Inside, he sexually assaulted the man despite his protest to stop and again took a photo of his genitals. So wait, his partner comes back and he goes, my partner's back. This sucks. I can't continue to take these photos of genitalia. I better get him down to the bathroom down the hall, right? I thought every hospital room had its own bathroom. Maybe not. So he goes down and he's like, hey, man, let's do some sexual things. Now, if I were suicidal and a cop started to massage my foot and take pictures of my genitals, I'd feel much better. I'd be like, oh, thank you for making me feel wanted. Then everything would be okay again, right? Within minutes after Calhoun left, the man told hospital staff about what had happened. Swabs taken from the victim matched Calhoun's DNA, and revealing photos of the victim were recovered from Calhoun's phone. Blah, blah, blah. The attorney of the cop said he's a respected police officer with no criminal background. And in November, he even negotiated with a knife-wielding man for 3 hours. Oh, yeah? Negotiated? He was probably like, let me see that knife. I'll take a pic. The attorney declined to speak with reporters. So there we have it. A cop is in jail now. Or did he bond out? It doesn't matter. He's held because he sucked a suicidal man's toes. So don't do that. And expect to get away with it because they'll swab between those toes. Or if you do want to get away with it, grab some of that hospital alcohol and those wipes and pour them on the man's toes. Right? Get rid of all that DNA, Ev. I was running home from work today and I was 2 miles in and this dog appears out of the woods. And I go, oh, God, a dog. Oh, dog, a god. When I was a kid, I was always like, is it dog or god that the one we're supposed to be worshiping? Oh, well. Anyway, so I run by, and he seems pretty friendly. And then I go, oh, wait a minute, it might be lost. It might just not be normal. Although the trail is right by a bunch of houses. So I go back and go, hello, doggy, come here. And it runs over, right? And I grab its collar, and I check it for an address. And there is no address. And then I check it for a collar, another, and I go, what do I do? And I message people. I'm like, what do I do? But they're not responding. I got this dog, and I'm just holding it on the trail, right? I can't stay here forever. So I check its collar, and it's got a phone number on it. So I call the phone number. Starts ringing. I'm like, oh, this will be good. Someone will pick up. They don't pick up after like 8 rings. Then I look down the trail. There's another guy coming with a dog. And I go, oh, okay. So his dog just got away from him. So he's got two dogs probably. And one of them just ran ahead, right? So I let the dog go. And it starts running toward this guy's other dog. And then he goes, my dog's okay if yours is. And I go, oh, no! It's not my dog! So now I'm the secondary owner of a dog. Now, if this dog gets in trouble with the second dog, like attacks it, now it's my fault because I let the stray dog go thinking that it belonged to the guy with the second dog, right? Now it's all, and it's like, now I'm a shitty dog owner in the span of about 4 minutes for letting my dog free. And then I go, oh, no, it's not mine. What do I do? And he goes, oh, I don't know. Well, there's a lot of houses around here. I say we just let the dog go. It'll probably be fine. I'll run back here in a few minutes and see what happened. That's what he says. And I go, okay. So I run off and I look behind me and the second dog, the stray dog, is following behind this guy's dog. So now I guess they're best friends. I don't know. Now comes Tad Cummins through counsel and requests that this honorable court set this matter for a change of plea hearing in support of this request. Mr. Cummins submits that after case review, consultation, and personal reflection, he would like to enter a plea of guilty to both counts as charged in the indictment. I hereby certify that on the 29th day of March... Blah, 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 blah. Tad Cummins is accused of taking a 15-year-old female across the blah, blah, blah. We already know about all this. He has filed a motion to plead guilty to both charges, which I believe are the transportation of a minor across state lines for the purposes of having criminal sexual intercourse. And there was one other one. Obstruction, right? Because he ran, like he hid or something. But then he also got these state charges from Tennessee. So he's got a bunch of charges coming up, but he has filed a motion to plead guilty to the state charges. That is our Tad Cummins update, breaking news. Hey, so the other day I found this really, really creepy video series online. And it is a guy, right? And his YouTube channel is Muscle World. And he's only got like maybe 16,000 views on this video that he's posted. So this video is called Girls Hit on a Guy at the Gym. And I didn't get the pun until about 5 minutes before the show. But it starts with him doing these pull-ups. And it's got a weird... Wanna dance, yeah. It's just got a crazy soundtrack. He flexes his muscle. This girl kisses it. And now it cuts 30 seconds into the 4.5 minute video. It cuts to him putting his arms up above his head. And he's like tied up at this point. This is on YouTube, by the way. This shouldn't be acceptable. This is a topless man. But we can't see topless whims. And then several seconds later, two or three other women walk through the door in heels and leggings and boxing gloves. And they start punching him like he's a punching bag. Get it? Girls hit on a guy at the gym. And you think, oh, that's a funny bit. But it goes on for 3 more minutes. Skipping ahead. She's still punching him. Skipping ahead. They're switching girls. Now she's punching him to a new soundtrack. That girl's not hardly even swinging at all, by the way. She's a very lazy puncher. And that's it. It's 3 minutes of him being punched in the abs. So check out Muscle World if you want to see another great video. Here's one. It's called Girls Pull a Man! Challenge.
Hello! Welcome.
So after some research, I found that this man is just a guy with a bunch of muscles who wants to pay girls or something. I don't know how he's getting these people in his videos, but the production quality is relatively high because he's got cameras all over the room. It's just the acting is awful, or the presentation is awful because his girls are stupid. So this our host here is going to introduce the Girls Pull a Man Challenge, or at least I think she's going to introduce it.
Welcome to our rope challenge today. Let's go.
Nope, she didn't introduce anything. So all she does is go, let's go. And so what I'm actually seeing here is another topless man with a rope tied around his stomach, two ropes actually, and all four ends of these two ropes are going in four directions, and there's a girl on each end. And they are pulling with almost no effort on him. I'm not sure what kind of fetish this is, but this is weird, and we have to watch it. And now the host walks around the room and asks, how are you girls doing pulling on this man with your rope?
A good tug of war. Come on, Jazzy.
Yes!
Bang! Come on! Come on!
Oh, yes!
He's doing so good. Heather, I thought I had long legs. Come on!
Like, is it even hard? Do you have to be strong to resist the pull in four directions? Because wouldn't the pulling just offset? Or is it supposed to be tightening on him like a boa constrictor, like giving him a rope burn around his abs? So if that wasn't bad enough, if you skip ahead, they wrap it around his neck and then try to kill him.
Our rope challenge today. Let's go. Woo!
All right, now they pull on his neck.
Oh, how are you there, gorgeous? Longer legs than I have. Yeah.
All right, so he almost dies here. And apparently that wasn't enough. So this is what back in May of 2017. Just 2 months ago, he posted a brand new video. A bunch of girls wrap him up in a bunch of plastic wrap and wait for him to die. That beeping you hear is his heart monitor, by the way. So they've wrapped him up as tight as possible in plastic wrap, and they wait about 15 minutes before cutting him out with scissors. I'm not sure how he doesn't die, to be honest. They're just checking on him all awkwardly. Like, are you cooked yet? My God, he looks like a turkey, because the video is called Human Turkey. All right, that's enough of that. So check out Muscle World, I guess. Or I don't know. YouTube Muscle Girls Pull on a Man Challenge. What a weird guy. He's just gotten this fetish where girls will give him rope burns and wrap him up in plastic wrap, and I'm not sure how he could breathe for 15 minutes in there. That's gotta be a trick, like one of those David Copperfields. You get it, George Bush? A Wisconsin man has been sentenced to 60 years in prison after trying to sell his 4-year-old daughter for sex on Craigslist in Texas. Andrew Turley, 30, convicted of trafficking of a child and compelling a prostitution of a person under 18. Prosecutors said the father's Craigslist post in 2015 was titled, "Play with Daddy's Little Girl." Turley believed he was speaking with someone interested in the sale, but it turned out to be an undercover Houston police officer, prosecutor said. The messages lasted over the course of 70 emails. I couldn't find the 70 emails. Turley said he had a girl younger than 10 and he would give her sleep meds and said the encounter would cost $1,000 for 2 hours. Turley also implied that his daughter might be too young for intercourse, but everything else would be fine. Okay. The undercover officer met Turley when he visited his daughter at her mother's apartment in the Houston area, exchanged the money, and witnessed the girl in a bedroom where she appeared to be under the influence of an unknown substance, and then arrested Turley. The case broke my heart, blah, blah, blah. Father is supposed to be a protector, not a predator. So that's awful. 60 years for a single Craigslist post, so don't even try it, people. I know you want $1,000, but that is just gross. Could not find any other information on that. If you just click the link, it just takes you to another thing that's a copy and paste of the thing I just said. Blah, blah, blah. The undercover officer scheduled a time to meet when he was set to visit his daughter at her mother's apartment. So that's crazy. He didn't even have custody, right? And he was paying a visit, but then he's like, I have a daughter. I'm going to put her on Craig's? How gross do you have to be? Pretty gross, I guess. Speaking of parents who are great, mom crashes a car to prove that God would protect her kids.
A traffic camera recorded the SUV flying across Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, then slamming head-on into the pole.
The children told the officers that their mother wanted to prove to them that God was real and God would protect them.
Police body and dash cam videos show the children ages 5 and 7 being brought out of the car unharmed, followed by their mother, 25-year-old Bakari Warren. She was immediately arrested for child cruelty.
Bakari.
I was close, and he was saying blah, blah, blah. I love God.
Told them.
What? What did those kids say? Was that even English? Or is that just Bakari language?
Close, and he was saying blah, blah, blah. I love God.
Told them to buckle up, and the next thing you know, she accelerated.
As the children sat in the back of a police car, they told officers what they remembered.
Were you on the wrong side of the road or on the right side of the road?
The wrong side.
You were on the wrong side.
So we would have got hit anyway. Actually telling us to believe in God so nothing would happen to us.
Are you all ready to die? What was that from? I feel like that was another parent who did that, or like a, man, I don't remember what that quote was from. Search it on the website. Before the crash, which happened in Norcross, the mom allegedly drove across the wrong side of the road to reach the pole. Warren told police that she wanted to prove that God is real and God would protect them. So she got out of the car and she said, "Proved it! I rest my case. I'm in jail, but my kids 5 to 7 are full-on believers of the Lord Jesus Christ and his pizza." Call back. The SUV quickly moves across the top of the frame, blah, blah, blah. So, that's too bad. The surgeon said she was not found to be intoxicated or driving under the influence of drugs. She told the kids to buckle up. And the next thing you know, she crossed over the grassy median onto the wrong side of the road and then crashed into the pole. He added that because it was shortly after midnight, there was not a lot of traffic on the road. It could have been a lot worse if the incident occurred during the daytime. Well, she's a responsible believer, right? She's not going to be risking other people's lives. What if you crash into someone else? It's like, hey, hey, the Lord protected you. And the other person's like, oh no, I have a broken arm. It's okay. The Lord protected you. 13-year-old running to be the next governor of Vermont. Ethan Sonneborn is an 8th grader who loves basketball, fishing, and writing. He also wants to be the governor of Vermont. And thanks to the fact that there are no state laws that require a gubernatorial candidate. Gubernatorial, why do they use that word? If the actual word is governor, they just say, let's put a B in here for no reason. Candidates to be a certain age, Ethan is officially the youngest candidate to run for that office in Vermont history. Ethan, who lives in Bristol, is campaigning ahead of the state's Democratic primary in August, where he'll face two challengers. The issue? Stricter gun control and legislation he says his home state needs. Oh, wait, sorry. Stricter gun control, comma, legislation he says his home state needs. Oh, good. Another idiot, 13-year-old, who has too many guns on his brain. So, being 13 poses some unique challenges. One of them is school. It's funny. His biggest barrier is complications to being in school, which while simultaneously running for governor, not that I'm advocating that he drop out of school or drop out of the race. Also, not having a driver's license, he's dependent on other people for rides to statewide events he speaks at. He speaks at events? Can you believe it? Ethan said that his age shouldn't be a factor. His perspective should. My perspective is that of a man who's very short, and I can't see anything. Hello? Is there anybody on the other side of this podium? His platform has featured gun control since he was announced as candidacy. He announced his candidacy in 2017. I'll admit, when I first heard about a 13-year-old running, I thought, is this some kid from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory spoiled? But that's not the case. Casey said. I don't know who Casey is. Democratic Party Executive Director. Okay, so it's not some guy on the streets. Ethan really did embrace the gun issue early on. He's representing younger people, and he's been a good voice for them. Ethan acknowledges hunting is an important part of life in New England. It's a culture that I respect, he says. But if it's making the decision between letting my friends have a good time at a firing range and then possibly being involved in the school shooting, I'm choosing legislation to protect them from a school shooting. Sonnenberg says part of his campaign is intended to disrupt the status quo. There's always been a sense of, we don't talk about that in politics. That's what I wanted to change, he said. Oh, wait, hang on. There's always been a sense of, we don't talk about that in politics. That's what I wanted to change. I wish it didn't take a tragedy for us to become involved in a national dialogue. How about how we move forward, but we can't go back in time and make it that Parkland didn't happen. And while we're in this moment, I think it's a good opportunity to make change. All right, let's hear his speech. How many people came to his speech? He's got a whole rally going. Let's hear it. Oops, hang on. Going back to the beginning.
Hello. I'm Ethan Sonneborn. I'm 13 years old. I like dogs, basketball, and fishing.
I like puppies. Vote for puppies.
I'm also running for governor of Vermont. To everyone here today and all across our country, know this. We are America's future.
He even has one of those sign language people at his rally.
The reason I'm here today, because my goal, not just in my campaign, but in my life, is to prove that government matters.
Boring.
That it matters who we elect. That it matters what happens in our country. Everything we do.
All right, we're going to skip ahead to a part where he gets really, really into it. He's probably going to tell us some great motivational stuff. So here we go.
We may not be old enough to vote yet, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't get involved. We must be the voice. Wait. Why should.
He messes up his speech, and then the lady in front of the camera makes fun of him, or not makes fun of him, just goes, ooh, that's pretty cute. He goes, oh, wait. Is everyone coming out just to see the 13-year-old make a fool of himself? I really hope so.
We may not be old enough to vote yet, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't get involved. We must be the voice... Wait. Why... Wait. Why shouldn't you be the one to end worldwide hunger? To make a breakthrough in medical science? To protect world peace? To put people on another planet? We are the generation that will do all these things. Why not start now?
Yeah! Wow. Why isn't he home playing Kerbal Space Program if he wants to be the one to put people on another planet? So he said Gooberment matters. Get it? Because the B callback. Gubernatorial things. He has a clear, concrete, research-based ideas for improving Vermont and society as a whole. His principal at the Mount Abraham Union Middle High School said, "That is quite an accomplishment of concerted critical thinking, civic participation, and a visionary nature for middle school students." Remember that kid who was 12 years old and he spoke at, like, the RNC? And he went up on stage and said, "Conservatism is not about romanticism. Conservatism is the greatest thing, and read my book, Defining Conservatism." I'm not going to look it up right now. We're not going to play it. But then, a couple years later, when he turned 17 instead of 12, he was like, actually, I'm a Democrat now. And all the Republicans were like, oh, damn it. We had like a 12-year-old, and he was pretty cool, and all he was doing was memorizing Rush Limbaugh and reciting it again. And now he's just the same idiot, but only a Democrat. I haven't looked it up recently. Maybe he switched to being a Green or a, I don't know, a Hitler. I don't know. So that's the 13-year-old who wants to run for government. A boy was decapitated on a water slide, and now the ride's visionary creator faces a murder charge. I don't know if you guys remember this. We covered this on a break show with Joe, where, so they had this ride at this park. Where was it? Kansas Amusement Park, where... a slide started going down it, and then it, like, something happened, and this kid flew out, hit his head on the netting, head chopped off clean. Not clean. It was pretty, it was like a melon. It's like someone had a summer party but slipped, and the melon went into the slide, but it's kind of melon. It was a boy's head, right? Not funny. So he goes, splatting right down the water slide, and everyone goes, oh, it must have been a freak accident. I'm sure this happens all the time. It doesn't happen all the time, but every time you hear of a roller coaster or something horrible happening at an amusement park, it's like, oh, freak accident. There's nothing we could have done. Investigators say they found signs of rushed construction and covered up injuries. Prosecutors are calling the visionary Henry something else, a murderer. He owned the Schlitterbahn Water Park and several others with his siblings, and he was arrested Monday in Texas on charge of second-degree murder in the death of Caleb Schwab. A Texas grand jury indicted Henry along with John Timothy Schooley, a designer of the water slide, and Henry & Sons Construction, a corporation involved with the design and construction of the water slide, known as the Verrückt, the German word for insane. Schooley and the company are also charged with second-degree murder. Maybe this would go okay in Germany. Like, in Germany, we kill our kids on the water slides. That's what makes them so fun. You're slipping down on brown. Who cares? Schlitterbahn Company and Tyler Austin Miles, the former director of operations at the water park, had already been charged with involuntary manslaughter and several counts of aggravated battery, aggravated endangerment of a child, and interference with law enforcement, blah, 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 in the investigation. All right, so what happened? A hybrid roller coaster and water slide, the Verrückt, was Henry's brainchild. Investigators say that he decided to build it on a spur-of-the-moment bid to impress the producers of Travel Channel's Extreme Water Parks series. So he watched Extreme Water Parks and went, huh, I could make an extreme water slide, and then I could be on Travel Channel. He and Schooley, a longtime friend and business partner, were chief designers, the indictment said, even though neither had any credentials in mathematics, physics, or engineering. Whatever. Just build a tall slide. How bad could it be? Groups of riders zoomed down the nearly vertical 168-foot main descent. Then they ascended 50 feet above the ground, propelled by inertia and a series of high-pressure water blasters. That part is the part that the problem occurs. But in some instances, instead of sliding straight down, the rafts went airborne, which was a major design flaw that investigators say the company had known about, tried unsuccessfully to fix, and eventually ignored. Most of the slide is covered with a net with metal hoops, which is an industry-defying addition. Yeah, so what's the point of the net? I guess it catches you if you're going to fly out, but the net is what killed the kid. Right? So, we got some information here. Apparently, every day, they would run the test on the slide to make sure that it was still running okay. So, in order to test it, did they put on test dummies? No. They put on lifeguards, workers of the park.
But you're saying it is safe?
Oh, yeah. This ride is probably the safest speed slide that's ever been built. It's been tested. It's been evaluated.
Prosecutors say neither of those things were true. The indictment says...
Sorry about that. That was me turning up the volume on my computer a little bit. There we go again. That's going to happen a lot. I don't know how to make that not happen because I haven't looked it up. Anyway, so this is the guy, Jeffrey Henry, which is the co-owner, and in the indictment. And this is him talking to the Travel Channel, I believe. Or no, it's a reporter. In 2014, and the guy says, is it safe?
It is safe.
Oh, yeah. This ride is probably the safest speed slide that's ever been built. It's been tested. It's been evaluated.
Prosecutors say neither of those things were true. The indictment says that employees warned executives about brake failures on the ride at least 29 times, and yet they were never fixed, and riders were getting hurt. Nathan Campbell was a lifeguard at the park. The indictment...
That is a unfortunate photo they've decided to use of him. His belt... I don't even know. You gotta watch the live show, guys. Newswithnick.com/live, and right now we are announcing it on the Puke in the Gang page, so make sure you ask to join the Puke in the Gang page on Facebook, because that is where the live announcements go up for News with Nick. If you want to check out my Twitter, it's twitter.com/news_with_Nick, and I don't post anything there at all, because News with Nick Twitter was taken for some reason, even though I own the domain name. So screw that guy. I feel like you should be able to go to court and be like, I have newswithnick.com. I get the Twitter, right? It's just internet etiquette. All right, so there's this lifeguard. He's smiling like a huge doofus, and he probably deserved to die on the slide, but let's see what happened to him.
Guard at the park. The indictment says that every morning, employees like him would be asked to volunteer to test the ride.
The brakes just didn't work, so we never stopped and just kept going and hit the very end of the ride and flipped off.
He says he was lightly hurt in his back, but was able to walk away.
So yeah, it's one of those slides where at the end, it's just a very flat surface and the boat is supposed to slow down and you stop. And he says the brakes didn't work. I don't know if the brakes are on the boat or on the actual slide itself. It makes sense to be on the slide.
Never wanted to be close to it, on it, work for it. I didn't want to be even close to it because that happened.
Brittany Hawkins was celebrating her birthday at the park when she, too, had a close call on the Varuk.
You're speeding down this hill and you can't really get your balance. The raft went airborne.
Cool.
I was actually flown up and my seatbelt came off.
Brittany says she was terrified.
We were going up that little hill, that second hill, and the gravity, again, lifted the raft and went flying down. And that's when I...
The gravity lifted the raft. She really needs to go to physics school.
Came crashing down on my back and couldn't move. I had 3 slip discs in my back that still give me trouble today.
According to the indictment.
Jeez. All right, so there's a 63-page indictment. So here's a video of them testing it on the Travel Channel.
Prior to the opening.
The sled is full of sandbags, and they launch it, and it just goes...
Many of the challenges captured by the show.
It goes like 35 feet in the air.
Over and kill every sandbag in there.
A prototype of the slide, even constructed in Texas, rafts seen flying off the slide.
How much over budget and how late?
All right. So there's a 47-page indictment. Strap in. We're reading the whole thing. Just kidding. However, as you get toward page 25, it starts describing some of the injuries. Don Slaughter rode the verdict after cresting the second hill. The raft went airborne and thrashed back and forth, causing his head to jerk side to side. Slaughter's raft then collided with the concrete wall at the end of the runout pool. Slaughter sustained... His name is Slaughter. Sustained head pain, which gradually increased after leaving the park. He sought medical attention and discovered he had suffered 3 herniated spinal discs as a result of riding the Verrückt. Several weeks later, contacted blah, blah, blah about his injury. Slaughter had radiating numbness and tingling in his right arm, extending to his right arm, blah, blah. So he had a punch of injuries. But here's where it gets interesting. They noticed that one of the rafts, Raft B, was having way more issues than all the other rafts. Henry and Schooley selected the rafts for Verrucht. Not all rafts performed equally. Staff identified Raft B as having a propensity for going abnormally fast and going airborne more frequently than other rafts. In 2016, Miles, again, the director of operations, received written reports about Raft B, advising, boat B2 was abnormally heavy and ran fast and rough. B2 got air on the second hill for no apparent reason. Boat B was taken out of circulation today because it kept coming down into the runout extremely fast and injuring guests. It kept injuring guests, right? It's not like, oh, wow, people are getting injured once or twice. Maybe we should check out the ride. No, keep it running. Keep them riding that ride until they die. Get the name of your kid with news at the end as a domain name before you name your kids. Yeah. Get the name of your... Sorry. Right, good point. Chat was saying. Staff do not routinely note which raft was involved in any specific incident. However, investigators found records and witness statements linking Raft B to the following injuries. On June 20th, we had head abrasions and bruising. On June 22nd, we had head and neck with whiplash. On August 7th, we had head, jawbone fracture, and laceration. On August 7th, we also had a head injury, orbital bone structure, orbital bone fracture, and laceration. On August 7th, we also had our final injury, type head and neck injury, decapitation. That was the final injury, I believe, that slide has ever had. So I guess that's good. Management temporarily removed Raft B from circulation after Groves was injured, which is the first guy in the list I just gave, but almost immediately returned Raft B to service. On June 22nd, Raft B was involved in another injury. Again, staff temporarily removed it from circulation. When rafts were removed from circulation, it was customary for someone to visually inspect the raft for obvious clues about the malfunction. What's going on? Even when staff were unable to ascertain the cause of the malfunction, the raft in question would eventually rotate back into circulation. Likewise, Raft B re-entered circulation, and the following written reports occurred between July 22nd and August 7th, which, again, August 7th, the final day of operation because of the melon issue. We put Boat B back into circulation and it ran smoothly for the rest of the day. That's good. Boat B was going really fast. Maybe too much air. Deflate Boat B a little. Then, a few days later, Boat B is low on air. Same day, Boat B requires maintenance. Same day, Boat B needs less air than the other boats in order to go down slower. One day later, Boat B was going really fast. Same day of the death, Boat B was going a bit too fast into the runout today. The point is, they failed to have routine maintenance, it says in the indictment. They failed to give into warning signs that this was an unsafe ride. People were getting injured left and right until the kid got mushed. End of story. They're in jail. About a 47-page indictment, if you want to read the thing. People just covering up lies left and right. Bridgeport High School locked down after a staffer threatens a killing spree. Carl Lemon, 63, an in-school suspension coordinator, was charged with second-degree threatening and breach of the peace and was later released on $5,000 bond. Police said shortly after noon, officers were dispatched to the high school for a threatening situation. The school's principal, Dane Brown, told officer that Lemon had made threatening statements to another teacher. Police said Lemon stated that he hates white people and couldn't wait for the Panthers to give the okay and a revolution begins because he will execute every white man he gets his hands on. I'm not sure how this happened. Like, it sounds like the guy somehow got into another teacher's classroom and maybe he was given a speech. Maybe, you know how sometimes a teacher will bring in someone, like an expert on a subject, and they'll talk to the class? Did your parents ever go into your class and talk to you? My dad did. Brad Ryder. He came into my second grade class, and he's like, I'd like to talk to you kids about the internet. I don't remember what we talked about. All I remember is one kid said, hello? What? And my dad said yes. And he said, what would happen if I searched the internet for the word girls? And my dad said, you'd probably find something. Brad Ryder. So I don't know. I'm not sure what we talked about, because back then the internet was literally like you had to dial up and you had to go to yahoo.com and to search for anything, and then it would take forever, and you'd run this program called Netscape Navigator made by the makers of Firefox. And I don't know. There was really nothing on the internet. Lemon also stomped on an American flag in a classroom, telling the students, this is what I think about it. Police said the principal subsequently found an anonymous note in her mailbox stating that Mr. Lemon talks about shooting whites a lot. He watches radical stuff during class, and I am scared he will do something. He is crazy. Now, how does he watch stuff during class? He's an in-school suspension coordinator, huh? Fake news, right? That's a false report. More officers were called to the school, which was put on lockdown while Lemon was taken into custody. Sage in the chat says, my mom volunteered once in my second grade class, and this small boy threw an oak chair at her. He was having a bad day. How can a second grader pick up an oak chair? Seems like a very strong second grader. Yeah, this other girl, her mom was like a nature expert or something, so she'd always come in and draw trees on the overhead, like the white blackboard. Hmm? Oh my god, blackboard and whiteboard. I'm gonna kill all them whiteboards. And just talk about, like, birds and how they live in trees. I don't know. I didn't learn anything in elementary school, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember a single thing. Speaking of things that happen in schools, crazed girls flood the Parkland school shooter Nicholas Cruz with fan mail. Ass murderer Nicholas Cruz? What the heck? Look at this. Because the M is big. Mass murderer Nicholas Cruz is getting stacks of fan mail and love letters sent to the Broward County Jail, along with hundreds of dollars in contributions to his commissary account. Teen girls, women, and even older men are writing to the Parkland school shooter and sending photographs, some suggestive, tucked inside cute greeting cards and attached to notebook paper with offers of friendship and encouragement. Groupies are also joining Facebook communities. I'm as good at talking as that 13-year-old. To talk about how to help the killer. The South Florida Sun Sentinel obtained copies of some of the letters that showing Cruz, who had few friends to the outside world, is now being showered in attention. So here's a photo gallery of some of the letters. It's just a stack of letters. The hashtag is hashtag NickFam, right? Hey, everyone, I want you all to know that Nicholas knows about us, and he has the biggest smile on his face when he was told that we all support him. He's not receiving mail yet, but he's being kept safe and ready for when he's allowed to read it all. He is okay. Keep the letters coming, because he can't wait to finally get them. Someone posts on Facebook. So, the Reverend notes take up all available space on the front and back of a kitty-like greeting card showing a furry bunny holding binoculars looking out at the ocean. The inside of the card says, out of sight, but never out of mind. Sorry, so I guess that was one of the letters. A teenager wrote on March 15th, I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior in high school. When I saw your picture on television, something attracted me to you. The letter was mailed from Texas and tucked inside an envelope covered with hand-drawn hearts and happy faces. Your eyes are beautiful, and the freckles on your face make you so handsome. She goes on to describe herself as white with big brown eyes. I'm really skinny, and I have 34 C-sized breasts. She ends the letter with three preschool-rated jokes about gummy bears and peanut butter. I don't get it. What are the jokes? She ends the letter with three preschool-rated jokes about gummy bears and peanut butter? Does anyone know the preschool joke about gummy bears and peanut butter? I like to stick my gummy bear in your peanut butter. But that wouldn't be preschool-rated. That'd be adult-rated, right? Preschool-rated would be, like, extremely, extremely innocent. Huh? A woman from Chicago enclosed nine suggestive photos, including a shot of cleavage, another in a skimpy bikini eating a popsicle, and a tight shot of her backside as she bent over. Another girl sent photos with Hello Kitty Snapchat filters. An 18-year-old from New York wrote, no one else is dealing with your demons, meaning maybe defeating them could be the beginning of your meaning, friend. I know you could use a good friend right now. Hang in there and keep your head up. The letter closes with hearts colored in pink ink. There's piles of letters, says the public defender, whose office is representing Cruz. In my 40 years as a public defender, I've never seen this many letters to a defendant. Everyone now and then gets a few, but nothing like this. Not all of the letters are from women. One card with a cat on the front is from a New York man sporting a bushy gray mustache. He enclosed photos of himself behind the wheel of his white 1992 Nissan convertible. But Cruz has not seen the mail because he's on suicide watch. You can also go to Facebook, or eBay, and you can get your hashtag NickFam, I stand with Nick, little wristbands. I think they're about $2.99. There's a bunch of them still for sale. So if you want to stand with Nick Cruz in his fight for justice, the man who was only buying a Mountain Dew, all he wanted to do, run to the store with his AK-15, buy a Mountain Dew. I know I just said AK-15. I don't care. But, no. I mean, it is true. He's got a very shapely chin, right? So who wouldn't want? Although you look at his arms and they're so skinny. Like, how could a man with such skinny arms be able to even hold a gun that big? Or throw an oak chair, right? I think he's a setup. Advertisers are pulling out of Laura Ingraham's show after she mocked David Hogg. This is the man that survived the shooting of Mountain Dew Boy, right? And then he came out and said, I'm now the spokesman for gun rights, and my name is David Hogg. So Laura Ingraham retweets a story about David Hogg being rejected from college, and she says, David Hogg rejected by four colleges to which he applied and whines about it. And then David Hogg responds on Twitter, says, pick a number 1 to 12, contact the company next to that number. And so he lists all of Laura Ingraham's advertisers, right? So people start going crazy. They go, pull out, don't support Laura Ingraham. She's making fun of an innocent 17 to 18-year-old man. All he wants to do is live. So she issues a reply. She goes, okay, sorry about that. Everyone should be proud of their 4.2 GPA, including David Hogg, and blah, blah, blah. We had him on our show. So, does David Hogg accept the apology of Laura Ingraham? And here he is on CNN. Now, this guy, kid, he never smiles. His hair is a perfect plastic 100% of the time. He stares directly into your soul. He probably picked on Nick Cruz 24/7, and he's overreacting, trying to cover it up so that nobody finds out. Right? This guy is a dick. He has to be. Let's find out what he says.
From you. I mean, it seems like you have a lot of power at the moment, and I'm just wondering how you feel about all this.
I think it's great that corporate America is standing with me and the rest of my friends, because when you come against any one of us, whether it be me or anybody else, you're coming against all of us. And I think it's important that we stand together as both corporate and civic America to take action.
What is he talking about? By the way, I thought the... Never mind.
...action against these people and show them that they cannot push us around, especially when all we're trying to do here is save lives. And when people try to distract, like Laura's trying to do right now, from what the real issue here is, which is gun violence in America, it's not only sad, it's just wrong. From a journalistic standpoint, I would say that she needs to be more objective and needs to stand down, because I am not the issue here. The issue needs to be gun violence in America. But what you...
He is so scripted, 24/7, like I said. I guess I don't have to repeat it again. I'm pretty sure he might be a robot.
I hate it.
Listen, she's a talk show host. She's not objective. I mean, her point isn't even to be objective. She has a particular position. She's a conservative. But listen, after the advertisers started pulling out, she did issue an apology to you. I'll read it to everyone.
Skipping ahead.
Election caused him to leave my show.
After a third of her advertisers.
I want to hear what he has to say. Does he accept the apology?
Discussion. Do you accept her apology?
No. She's only apologizing after a third of her advertisers pulled out. And I think it's really disgusting, the fact that she basically tried promoting her show.
Oh my God, his pin says, we call BS. You can't say that on TV.
After apologize or apologizing to me. I think it's wrong, and I think if she really wants to do something, she could cover things like inner city violence and the real issues that we have in America. I know she's a talk show host, but as such, she also has a responsibility to show both sides of a story, you know?
Look, I'm...
Shut up. Nobody wants to save the inner city. Just kidding. No, everyone knows. Okay, this guy is crazy. Companies are dropping Laura Ingraham left and right, blah, blah, blah. Gun rights provocateur David Hogg rejected by, oh wait, by four colleges. Okay, that's the article she retweeted, right? So I'm like, okay, what is with this guy? What is his history? And so I go to his Wikipedia, and he's an American student who survived the massacre of the Stoneman Douglas High School, afterward became a gun control advocate. But why? Why did he become the speaker, right? Was it just because he was on TV first, and they were like, hey, can you be on TV again? And he was like, sure. They're like, oh, sweet. Can you be on TV again? And he was like, okay, but I haven't slept for a while. They're like, it's okay. Can you be on TV again? And he's like, oh, I guess. And then he's just like, I guess I got to have a position here. So I hate guns. I hate gun violence. It doesn't even say that he hates guns, really. Anyway, so I go to Wikipedia and I'm like, okay, how old is he? And I notice this weird thing on Wikipedia. It says David Miles Hogg. Circa 2000-2001. It says C, and then you hover over it, and Wikipedia says circa. 2000-2001. Age 17 to 18. What? We don't know why... We don't know what age he is, 17 to 18. I'm like, that's weird. He must be... they must just not be able to find his address, like his birthday, right? So then I go to his best friend, Emma Gonzalez, right? The girl who went up on stage and said... I'm here to speak to you. And then, like, shut down. Like, she didn't say anything. Turns out, she's circa 1999-2000, age 18 to 19. Why do they keep doing this? They don't know how old they are? But why is that? And why is it circa? Is it because they are a bunch of circuits made into robots? And they were actually built by the left, inserted into the school... where they would do the false flag shooting and then come out and go, my name is David Hogg. I saw a shooting. We will change the world. And Emma goes, I'm going to speak. But then she stands there for 6 minutes silent because they forgot to program any speech. So they said, oh, we'll just have her stand here and do nothing. Right?
6 minutes and about 20 seconds. In a little over 6 minutes, 17 of our friends were taken from us, 15 were injured, and everyone, absolutely everyone, in the Douglas community was forever altered. Everyone who was there understands.
Just skip ahead. When does she shut up? There it is. Her programming has ceased, and they've tried to play it off as she was just powerfully being silent. Exposed. Confirmed. Stoneman Douglas High School activists. Programmed robots confirmed. Right? Man, sucker punches a 5-year-old in the face. Police are hunting for a man who approached a 5-year-old boy riding the New York City subway and punched him in the face as the child's mother was standing next to him. The man, identified as Ramon Thomas, 25, was on the G train just before 4:30 p.m. Saturday when he attacked the boy who was standing next to his mother. The train was approaching, blah, blah, blah. The man then taunted the child before fleeing the train when the doors opened. It's unclear what provoked the attack. The attacker yelled at the boy, are you going to cry to mommy? The boy suffered bruising and swelling on the left side of his face. He was taken to the hospital, treated for his injuries, and later released. Police shared photos that a witness snapped of the alleged attacker. Let's do a quick search and see if he's actually been caught. This was a link from yesterday. Nope. Man wanted for punching boy in face. Oh, wait, hang on. Man wanted for punching boy in face is holed up in the Bronx County psych ward. Ramon Thomas checked himself into the Jacoby Medical Center Monday, Police cannot arrest him or even question him until he's released. Wait, that was a few days ago then. Oh, they just found out that he checked himself in. The victim and his mother were riding the G train, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. That's a good story. All right, we are coming down on the final few minutes. So I don't have that much else to say. Let me see if I had any other notes in the thing. Nope, not really. 18-year-old buys her first lottery ticket and wins $1,000 a week for life. On her 18th birthday, Charlie Lagarde bought a celebratory bottle of sparkling wine and her first... wait a minute. Oh, okay. And her first ever lottery ticket at a Quebec convenience store. When she got home, the newly minted adult discovered she was a newly minted millionaire. Turns out the scratch-off she bought was worth $1 million. Instead of the lump sum, she chose the annuity option and will receive $1,000 every week for the rest of her life. So how is that? Because that would be about 20 years, right? That wouldn't be the rest of your life, unless it's like, you can choose to live 20 years on $1,000 per week, or you can choose the million. It was the first time she'd ever played the lottery, blah, 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 blah. That's a quick story. And that was our uplifting news of the day. Anyone in the chat want to send in any stories? All right, so newswithnick.com is the website. I did get some contact through the form, and I didn't use the stories that I've been sent yet because there was just too much between the guy with the 60 years for selling the kid on Craigslist. There was just too much in that category. This time, I was starting to feel a little ick. So we'll get those combined for another show, and we'll go over that. So this has been News with Nick, March 30th, 2018. Head on over to the website, subscribe there. I do need to fix the subscription. I am well aware that on your podcatcher, some of them say the notes of the show just say video version because it's pulling the wrong thing from the WordPress. And I did fix that once and then it reverted. So I think the podcast app, like, plugin updated itself or something, because I went into the code and I fixed it, and it was a pain in the ass because I forget what I did. So now I gotta go do that again. Gotta read XML through PHP, right? All right, thanks for coming out, Bradley and Vandershire and Andrea and Sage and Sieverman and I Am Cancer. I Am Cancer. Hello. I am. Okay, I don't even care. Bye. Yeah, nothing, man.